Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very, very accomplished corporate manager turned entrepreneur, Dr. Rajiv Mathur. Rajiv, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ashutosh. It's indeed a pleasure to be on your show today. Thank you.
Rajiv is the managing director of the Fuel Delivery, an on-demand fuel delivery service. He's also a talk show host of a show titled Jaane Anjaane. So Rajiv, before we get into the fuel delivery, tell me about the reason you decided to take the plunge as an entrepreneur from a corporate world.
Okay, very interesting question and very difficult to answer, Ashutosh. I have spent about 30 years into the security and safety domain. Mm-hmm. Because of this lockdown, etc., me and one of our colleagues, who's also the founder of the food delivery, we were thinking that in this lockdown time, everything is delivered at home. Mm. You know, everything is being delivered at home. Why can't we deliver fuel?
Correct.
So, from doing businesses for other brands, other companies, we thought let's do it. Do it. And lockdown is the right time to start anything which is new. Mm-hmm. That's how to get into this one.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. So let's talk about the fuel delivery. You just mentioned that you started it because of the lockdown, but tell me a little bit about the logic for being able to deliver fuel when it's so easily available everywhere. And why did you decide to focus only on diesel?
Okay, so Government of India is trying to address the last mile issue of diesel delivery. Because there are a lot of equipment, machineries like generator set, equipment, mining equipment, agriculture equipment, which require diesel to run. Mm. So, with some hit and trials, the government was trying to do it. But as I just said, we were thinking that, you know, when everything is being delivered at home, why can't petrol be delivered at home? That's what we thought. You know. Mm-hmm. But when we got into this, nitty gritty is more, than we realized that Government of India only allows diesel to be delivered.
I see. Okay.
Because petrol is highly inflammable and it's a little unsafe to carry. Mm-hmm. There are many equipments that are run on diesel which cannot come to the petrol pump.
Okay.
That is what Government of India wanted to address. The Ministry of Petroleum and Natural Gas, NDPI, started a scheme of DDD, doorstep delivery of diesel.
Okay.
Startups like us as fuel engine, it's a new term, fuel entrepreneurs, fuel engine. Hmm. So that's how it started. So Government of India only permits diesel to be delivered for equipment that cannot come to the petrol station. Mm. So this is happening for, I don't know how many years in our country. Somebody is carrying it on a rickshaw, somebody is carrying it in a tempo, and little unsafe means and chances of pilferage, adulteration, etc. So this is what the entire idea is, to address this. And largely, it is about B2B.
Okay.
It's not, I mean, I we cannot come and give deliver diesel for your car.
But if I have a diesel car, you can deliver.
No, cannot.
I see. Okay.
The car can come to the petrol pump. Mm. Instead, cannot.
Okay, understand.
That's a very simple definition.
Understand. And you mentioned that the Government of India is actually encouraging delivery of diesel to people's condominiums or whatever else. What are some of the challenges of delivery of diesel?
Okay. First of all, it's the mindset. First of all, it's the mindset. You know, we have learned, realized, are availing all facilities that can come home from daily groceries, clothing, etc. And look for the diesel or fuel can come. So making people realize that, you know, we can deliver diesel at your premises is first challenge. Second is that already this is existing, maybe very, very unorganized way, but this already exists. So the local fuel stations or, you know, your people, your staff can go and fetch it from the diesel. So diesel is coming. Mm-hmm. So this is a more convenient way, easier way, ensures quality, quantity, time, scheduling of delivery of diesel, and of course safe. So this is, these are one of the challenges. The second, and to be honest, the third, and to be honest here, as I said, this is a B2B business, and most of the businesses expect credit.
Okay.
So that's how it works. So they expect credit on everything. It's not that it is credit, so to say, but that's a processing time that they require. The oil marketing companies, you know, do not give us or perhaps to that kind of credit. So sometimes that becomes a challenge for us, especially like the startups like us. So that becomes a challenge sometimes.
Very interesting. And again, you know, when I was reading about you, it was fascinating that in such a established business with such a wide distribution of petroleum products, you as a fuel delivery decided to make a business case out of it. I was wondering, what is the value add that you are giving as compared to the traditional channels? I mean, the condominium that I live in, I'm sure they just call the petrol station and say, send us a tanker full of diesel for our gen sets.
Yes. So, yeah, as I said, that these could be some of the challenges. But, you know, as I said, lockdown has a major role to play in that convenient part, convenience of getting it whenever you want, the assurance of quality and quantity, because we fetch diesel directly from the oil depots, not from petrol pumps. The advantage. A few of the businesses that we are delivering diesel have confirmed to us that their equipment has started performing better than before because it is very pure.
Right.
We are a very technology oriented organization. So when did you get your you can plan. You know, I need every Thursday 10 a.m. Plan, it's all scheduled. You can track your delivery. You can track entire MIS last week, last year. What did I get? When did I get? So we are trying to extend three things. We speak to our customers. We are giving them convenience. We are giving them compliance, and we are cost benefit. Now, cost benefit in terms of the time and money and the energy they spend or somebody spend while going to the and coming back, or asking the petrol station to deliver. I mean, that's, there are chances of pilferage, adulteration, etc. So that's an indirect cost saving. The best part, Ashutosh, in our business is that you know, we are selling everything but diesel, because diesel is something that places like condominiums that you said they require. I mean, what said and done. Assets require diesel. The construction equipment required diesel. The agriculture required diesel. So the convenience, the assurance of quality and quantity, and it's helping us. And so far, so good.
Amazing. So I also heard some horror stories about the quality, where people say that because fuel is lighter than water, you know, unorganized sector tends to put water in their tankers with fuel floating on top, and nobody really knows how much has been really, you know, transferred into the big tanks at the customer site. What are your thoughts on this?
I mean, this is going to go on air shortly. And okay, so I would say intentionally or unintentionally, I don't want to comment on that.
Sure. Okay.
Pilferages, adulteration, and they're happening while there is a transaction. Fuel comes from the depot to the petrol station, from petrol station to that canister or to the drum, From there, to a drum stored in the customer's place. From that, that drum into the equipment.
Correct.
I'm saying if intentionally everything is fine, but there is still a chance of wastage there.
Mm.
Mixing of water, I don't think that's possible, but...
Okay. Fair enough. I mean...
Biodiesel, et cetera, could be. Yeah. There are possibilities and there are chances.
Okay. And you mentioned that you're using a lot of technology. Help us understand for my viewers and listeners, what kind of technology are you using other than databases?
So we are an on-demand app-based service.
Mm-hmm.
App is one way of ordering diesel from us.
Mm-hmm.
You can do it on an email. You can do it on a toll-free number. Mm-hmm. But everything is automated. Now, once an order is placed on us, a unique OTP is generated with a GPS location where it has to deliver.
Mm-hmm.
Now, once our Bowser... Now, Bowser is a tanker with a dispensing unit. Exactly. So, our Bowser is like a petrol pump on wheels.
Mm.
Once it starts from the oil depot, this is where the Bowser is going. If it stops for more than 5 minutes at a location, we at our control room get a pop-up.
Mm.
If the change in quantity of diesel inside the... Bowser, we will get a notification.
Mm-hmm.
If the nozzle of the dispensing unit is operated, first of all, it won't operate because unless and until it doesn't reaches the location given in the order, and then the ODP is fed the dispensing unit, only then exact quantity which has been ordered will be dispensed.
Okay.
So the complete use of AI and machine learning, so it ensures, first of all, quality, quantity, and privilege.
Mm-hmm.
One can also track when is it coming. You can actually see on the app where is the Bowser, which is coming to your location.
Fascinating. So now let's move, Rajiv, to your talk show, Jaane Anjaane. Tell me about this talk show and what was your motivation to start it?
Ashutosh, as the name suggests, Jaane Anjaane.
Hmm.
It's like Jaane Maane Logon Ki Anjaane Maane. Unknown things about known people. That's the objective. As I said, I've spent about 30 years in the security and safety domain, which is kind of a very serious business. All the time we keep talking about problems and situations to address.
Hmm.
And there is a large manpower, human resource behind this industry.
Hmm.
In the world, in India, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So during these lockdown times, we were having a lot of webinars, e-conferences, etc. And security was under stress.
Hmm.
So all these webinars were getting serious. The next one was, more serious than the previous one, and like that. So I thought there has to be something with the stalwarts of the industry that they always talk so serious about the business. But what is their what are they when they are not wearing that professional hat? So that was the, and I started. Of course, I have not done many episodes. 22, 23 only.
Mm-hmm.
These are all the stalwarts of the security industry who otherwise have a very, very fascinating profile when they are not with the security.
Mm.
So the objective was all these serious, very, very famous security people, what do they do otherwise?
Mm.
And very interesting people who are at very senior positions, they are very good cook, they sing well, they know how to do carpentry, their youth, stories of their youth, the stories of how they got, get married, that for the children. So I talk about, this is season one, I talk about everything but security to people from the security industry.
Mm-hmm.
The season one is almost about ending. The last episode will come very soon. And I'm thinking to do season two with the medical fraternity. Mm-hmm. They have done an extremely amazing job for last 1.5 years, 2 years of
problem. Right.
They also have a life, you know. What happens when you see a doctor without a white coat, you don't even recognize him or her.
Correct.
Sometimes. So that's what my aim is, to start the second season with the medical fraternity.
Mm.
People would like that as well.
Very interesting. So, you know, since you've done 23, 24, 25 episodes, for our viewers and listeners, tell us what goes into curating a successful talk show.
Okay, so since the experience that I have is with the security stalwarts, mm-hmm. otherwise in front of a camera or on a stage or mm-hmm. other, we realize that they are extremely serious people.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did to a little bit of success of the show is I have always done a trial call with them.
Mm-hmm.
Even I do not know how these people, most of them are, you know, behind the scene. And so a preparation to before the final recording is the key for me. Knowing them well, understanding, learning about them a bit helps. So, you know, while I was doing the research for this show, I realized that everyone wants to talk about himself or herself the most. So let's talk about something which I don't talk much about myself. I want to talk about that. So yeah, it takes a lot of preparation at home because you have to have the same kind of background, and you have to request people to, you know, come in that particular attire. Since to make it a little lighter, I request them not to be on your office desk. I request them not to be in formal attire, be in a, you know, Indian traditional things, etc. So that's fun part. And to be very, very honest, that all these episodes that I have done, some of the stalwarts I already knew before doing that, I have come out, gained and learned quite a lot with their experiences. Their journey from childhood to where they are is really amazing. And there's a lot of things which are behind the scene and no one would know. Some plays a music instrument, somebody sings so well, somebody cooks so well, and you know, they had stories in their youth while in uniform, otherwise things one come to know and realize that okay, if they have reached here, this is the reason that they have reached here.
Fascinating. So Rajiv, and I'm going to move to the last segment of our conversation. A lot of our viewers and listeners like to understand or get to know my guest a little better. So I have time for 3 or 4 questions for you. Sure. My first question to you is, what would you say are 3 key milestones in your life or your career?
Okay. You send me this question and I was thinking what to answer, but I think I would like to answer them. So the first milestone, I think, for everyone, could be first, second or third, is that when you actually get out of your comfort zone and start working, of course, that was the first milestone because the entire life changes.
Correct.
I think the second one is, so I have a 2 second. So the second A is like when I became father for the first time, different feeling, and you suddenly realize that, oh, my parents have been doing so many things for me for so many years, and now I realize how to how to grow a child and how to take care of. And the second B is that when I became the father for the second time, happened is when my son was growing up, I was absolutely busy working in the top of my youth, and I didn't realize when did he reach class 12 or when did he reach class 10. So I ensured when my daughter was born that I'm not going to miss her growing age now, which I missed for my son. So that was a very important milestone in my life.
Wonderful.
The third one, and last but not the least, is very recent. When after such a long professional career, leaving a cushy job and, you know, heading large organization, I got into this business. Mm. And that too, when everything was uncertain, when everything was questionable, and that too into a business which I had no background of.
Mm.
I think this is very, very important and big milestone.
Amazing. So I have time for two more questions, and I was trying to decide what to ask you. But my next question is a question on failure. I've often said this. In fact, I have a new book that was published in March on failure. And I've often said that parents in India or South Asia or Asia don't teach children, and you and I are both parents, don't teach children it's okay to fail. We've always been taught, come first in class, go to head of the line, et cetera, et cetera. And that manifests itself in our behavior patterns. My question to you is, what have been some of your learnings from some of your mistakes?
Well, I think two, again, I would like to answer. Mm-hmm. One is in my personal experience, the subject that you just touched upon.
Mm-hmm.
Pressurizing, and I think that's when I said the milestone. So I think I would like to confess here that with my son growing, and I was off his life, you know, study. This mm-hmm. is what this should, you know. And we didn't realize that we are trying to force a child what he did. But now when I see and when I look back, he decided his career, he decided his life. I think he was 5 or 6 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He got into that profession.
Amazing.
With my daughter growing up, and even today, she's in school, and I keep telling her, you need 60% marks.
Mm.
Remember how many marks did you score in class 9 to 10? Nobody would ever remember. Just those.
Correct.
And perhaps this could be the one of the reasons that I have disagreements with my wife. And she's saying, why do you ask your children to do so?
Hmm.
Just relax, do whatever you want. Don't force yourself getting which was my mistake with my son. That's one in personal life. Second, I have also realized that honesty and truthfulness in your profession is the key.
Correct.
You know, sometimes what happens, I started my career with a sex-dominated organization, one of the best in the country. And we were taught to just sell. And we were taught to sell, but once you go out in the field and you have sales pressure, you start miscommunicating false promises to the customer, and that comes. So very recently, you know, after half of my career, realized that whatever is truthful in the business should only come.
Mm.
Otherwise, it's, you know, you get into a circle to manage it.
Mm.
These are the two things I
very think, interesting. So I've got time for one more quick question, and this is for the many, many people who will listen to our conversation. You have had an amazing career in the corporate world. You're an entrepreneur now. What would your advice be to a young individual who's starting off on her or his life in the corporate world?
Ashutosh, as I just said, I started my career with a sales-oriented organization.
Yeah.
So I was expecting a promotion, and I was kind of due for a promotion. And one of the very senior bosses of the organization just came in for a regular visit for one of the smaller branches.
Mm.
And then I heard the conversation between him and my boss. Mm. So my immediate boss, often used to ask me to run the branch for a day. And I would obviously, since I had no experience, I obviously used to commit mistakes there.
Mm-hmm.
Correct me on those mistakes in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
One day, you know, I asked him, that, why don't you tell me in the morning that mm-hmm. this is what I have to do? Why do you correct my mistakes in the evening?
Mm-hmm.
He told me one line, and he explained this situation to the senior manager, who had, senior officer who had come. He says that, if you want to become a manager tomorrow, acting like one today.
Mm. Okay.
You know, you should not say that, you know, once I will become a manager, I will do that. That.
Mm.
Start doing that, then you are eligible to become a manager.
Sure.
That's what the younger generation should think, that prepare yourself for the role that you are actually seeking.
Mm. Very interesting.
Pick up the role and prepare.
Very interesting. Rajiv, on that note, thank you very much. It has been such a pleasure speaking to you. Thank you for talking to me in so much detail about your passion program, the Fuel Delivery. Thank you for talking to me about the other passion, which is Jaane Anjaane. And I wish you lots of success with both the Fuel Delivery and Jaane Anjaane. Thank you again.
Thank you so much, Ashutosh, for having me here. It's indeed a pleasure. An honor to be on the show, and I also enjoy talking to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.